You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 21st of September. A free agency FAQ, a free agency primer. Kind of a geeky, boring, kind of like your chemistry class, but hopefully it'll be worthwhile when you look at the whole offseason. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan each and every day. Today's show brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your next order. Thanks so much for tuning in. Here's what we've got today. We'll run through kind of the action of the last few nights in the NBA. And then I just thought, as we'll start digging into potential free agents, looking at possible draft picks for the next 2 months, we've got 2 months till we got a draft and then free agency. We'll be hanging out every single day doing this. I thought it'd be good if we just had a free agency kind of FAQ primer on how it all works. So we'll do that today. But let's start with last night's action. Anthony Davis has arrived. Give him credit. We watched him wilt versus Rudy Gobert multiple times in New Orleans. We watched him tap out of an entire season in New Orleans. He has been brilliant in the playoffs, even before the final shot. If that shot rims, he's been brilliant. But if that shot rims, Denver is tied at 1-1, and Jokic has become unstoppable again. And to the credit of the Lakers, well, LeBron has a brilliant first half, and Anthony Davis carries him in the second half. And, you know, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope has been their kind of consistent next shooter. They didn't get a lot else, and they got the win. And Anthony Davis hits the shot. He and Jokic battle late. Offensive rebounding rules the day. And the Lakers, you know, really a shot that I think propels them to the finals. I know Denver's been the comeback kids, but asking Denver to go beat the Lakers 4 out of 5 games seems unlikely. I guess it seemed unlikely for them to do everything else they've done, but this one seems more so. What's interesting in this series is the defense has really kicked in. The offensive ratings last night were about a 105. So league average is about a 112. Defenses have really kicked in this series. To me, as I've said the whole time, the key was you've got to keep the Lakers out of transition. And they're not a great half-court team. They haven't faced a great half-court defense yet. Denver's playing pretty good half-court defense. And I thought, you know, when you look at last night, they kept the Lakers in Lakers were in transition about 16% of the time, which is high. They weren't as wildly successful in transition as they usually are. But I think it's too hard to keep the Lakers out of transition. The offensive rebounding game is really interesting. The Lakers got 35% of their misses in this game. These are the two best offensive rebounding teams in the Western Conference. Now, does that tell you that you should offensive rebound? Does that tell you that they just have elite-level athletes? It's an interesting discussion of why offensive rebounding, the two teams that have the best offensive rebounding actually survive. One note on Anthony Davis. To his credit, kind of the way you'd stop, the reason they weren't a great half-court team, and frankly, the Lakers nor the Nuggets were a great half-court team last night. Both were probably below average in half-court execution. Was that Anthony Davis is not a very good mid-range shooter. And, you know, you could if you could keep him off the rim and keep him out of transition, then he could have a less than efficient night. That mid-range shot's going down for him a little bit right now. And that makes him awfully hard to guard. You know, you add a few transition possessions that he gets every night, and then you suddenly have him, particularly on that right side of the floor last night. I think he was about, you know, 4 of 7, and I think he was about 5 of 9 overall on long twos. Well, that makes Anthony Davis pretty unguardable. And that's the shot that, as much as, you know, analytics want to keep you away from, right, understandably, it is still the shot that, you know, kind of loosens the defense up a little bit. Now, when Anthony Davis takes as a cop out, it's not great. But I think he did, you know, more than that the other night. He did not get to the rim a great deal. I think he took like 3 shots at the rim the entire game. But that's a massive win. A massive win. So impressive. And the Lakers, this is how they were built. This is what they are for. This is who they are. They're 2 wins away from going to the NBA Finals. The Celtics got back on track the other night. They look great. I've said this a lot. I just think the Celtics are great. I mean, they're lacking a big man in the middle, but everything else about them is so good. And now they have Gordon Hayward back. They're just playing 6 guys. Nobody else played more than 10 minutes. I don't think that series is over at all. Miami did not have a good defensive game, but there weren't the weaknesses. Boston didn't have the weaknesses that Miami has been able to take advantage of. Bam Adebayo was great. You know, Miami's problem is they just don't actually have that kind of dominant net scorer. You know, it's great that Jimmy Butler like picks his spots, involves his teammates, most unselfish superstar. Those things are all great. It also means he's just not that guy. They don't have that guy. Whereas Boston, I mean, like Jaylen Brown's like their fourth option, and he drops 26, 7, 5, 3 steals a block. He was great. He is great. He is the next James Harden in the sense of star play or player that's on a team with too many stars. And then when he goes somewhere else, he becomes a star. And everyone's like, how'd you get rid of him? Like, I think Jaylen Brown ends up being a, I don't know how far I want to take it, 25 point a game scorer. I mean, he averaged 20 this year. Major breakout year for him. He went to 48% shooting. His 3-point shooting jumped up to 38%. He went to the line a little bit more. He averaged 20 points a game this year. Well, he's ready to be, he was number 3 pick of the draft. He's probably ready to be his own leader on his own team. And probably going to want to be, is my other take on that. Gordon Hayward is such a smart player. Watching that game, Gordon Hayward's transition defense on Duncan Robinson. Gordon Hayward came out moving the basketball on a team that just had a fight in the locker room the night before. Gordon Hayward, huge impact back in that game. Final quick thought before we dig into the free agency primer. You know, we talked about a lot of these things about the bubble before the game started. And then once the game started, I feel like we dug back in and forgot about some of the things we talked about. One of the things we talked about was your total inability as a player to get away. So that when you finish a game, you know, in regular, you finish a game, you're pissed off at your teammates, you get out of the locker room fast, you go out for a few drinks with your buddies, you go back to your place, maybe one of your buddies is staying with you, maybe your wife, if you're married, if you're single, maybe you have somebody over for the night. You get away, you wake up, you go to practice the next day, you get away again, and you go battle the next day, and the fact that one of your teammates pissed you off just doesn't matter. In the bubble, you just can't ever get away. Ever get away. And that is manifesting itself. And we talked about this before it started. And that manifested itself with the Clippers, who clearly just didn't get along as a group. It manifested itself for Denver, who clearly did get along as a group. Like they have a vibe to them. LeBron embraced this pretty well for the Lakers. Miami, when you hear about them talk, our guys seem to be pretty engaged. Like that bubble life actually had to do a lot to do with stuff. There were groups that, if your camaraderie wasn't great, it got accentuated here. What's interesting about that is like the Clippers are in crisis right now on an issue that I actually don't think is a crisis in a real season. In other words, if they get back to a real season, I don't think, the fact they don't get along, they could probably get through that and win some series. I'm not sure Milwaukee wasn't worn out of each other. George Hill's a pretty strong personality in the locker room. I think he could have worn them out. They didn't play or act like they had the zest that they wanted to be all together. Now, it's easy after you lose to say this about everyone, but there's, you know, you can have some facts to it too. Just to, you know, keep an eye on it. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Chevy, located in Woods Cross, the great Chevy truck lineup. If you're heading into the winter, you're thinking about a Chevy truck, There's the Silverado and the Colorado. The Silverado, when I drove it, I would call it the lazy boy truck because it was so divine. It was like being in luxury. It was like the Ritz-Carlton of Four Seasons, but you're in a truck, so you're feeling studly and cool, and you can pull a ton, and it's got everything. But the fact is, it's like the most comfortable ride, and you're sitting there, and it's posh, and it's just awesome. That's the Silverado. Then there's the Colorado. That's the smaller, more versatile. That's the haul the stuff around, move around, get around truck. Enjoyed the Colorado truck. Found it incredibly useful. You know, it's one of those things where you feel like every family's got to have a truck. That's your Colorado right there. Then the great SUV lineups as well. With the classics, the Tahoe and the Suburban, you know Chevy well. But have you checked out the Traverse, which is their large, their family SUV? The Blazer is sporty. And then there's the Equinox, the mid-size SUV. All looking fabulous. Over at Woods Cross, if you're going to stop by and get a Chevy, stop by Murdoch Chevy in Woods Cross, also in Logan and in Linden. The Murdoch Sure program continues. Murdoch, 90 years, maybe 80, 80 years in Utah, working as part of our community. If you're going to stop by, feel free to email me first at dlock09@gmail.com so we can set you up with the Lock VIP treatment. Today's show is also brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar. Ben Golliver's got Built Bars coming. I can't wait to hear what he has to say. Unbelievably healthy, ridiculously delicious, and a great ordering experience. I got to give them credit. It is really, truly one of the best customer service experiences you'll have. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. You get $10 off. When you order, you can order the Built Bar Bundle, where you try every flavor, or you can build your own box with three flavors, I think it is. They also have got the new Built Bar Drink Addicts and the pouches and some other aspects. You can order all of them together. Built Bar is ridiculously delicious with 100% chocolate on the outside, cookies and cream, caramel brownies, a new one, orange, great flavor. And the macros are amazing. 130 calories, 2.5 fat grams, 4 net carbs, 4 sugar, no nuts on some and on others. There aren't, but their factories are divided. Fiber, just 6 grams, and then protein, 7 more grams in leading men's gram. It's all BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to get $10 off your next order, and you can actually use that promo code more than once if you already have used it. So go ahead and use LOCKEDON again. Free agency primer. By the way, every Monday on the LOCKEDON Podcast Network, LOCKEDON NBA, biggest stories, local expert. LOCKEDON NFL, biggest stories, local experts. LOCKEDON College Football with Candace Cooper, biggest stories, local experts. All bouncing around to get the biggest stories of what happened over the weekend with your local experts. It's just to bounce from one to the other. You'll love it. All right. So we're going to go, as the month goes on, we're going to go dig into free agents and look at them with B-ball index and breakdowns, and we'll look at draft prospects. But let's do a free agency primer. The biggest question I think everybody wants to know is, what is the super max? It's actually called the designated player rule. And this is what Rudy is eligible. Certain players can receive contracts or extensions if they reach certain thresholds. And it's called the super max because they receive a starting salary of up to 30% of the cap. And if a player also are finishing, they can receive up to 35%, which is usually reserved to players 10 years or more. So if a player has been named to the All-NBA first, second, or third team in the most recent season, or both of the two seasons that preceded, so Rudy's done that, the player's been named Defensive Player of the Year in the most recent season, or both of the two seasons that preceded the most recent, he's done that. So one quick thing on Rudy when we talk about this, like, well, I don't pay him the Supermax. He doesn't deserve it. Well, he actually's earned it. Okay? Now, there are a bunch of little rules on it. If you're entering, when we look at Rudy, what year he is matters. So this starts to impact how you look at it. He and Giannis, both in the same class, both of the two players that are eligible for the Supermax right now. So Rudy has completed his seventh season in the NBA. Okay? So, with the seventh season completed, he will get what's called he's eligible for what's called the designated veteran extension. 7 or 8 years of service when the extension is signed, and you can add 1 or 2 years remaining on your contract. You have to have been with the same team the whole time, and the maximum your contract can be is 6 years by the time you're done with this. So you cannot be over 6 years. Now, Rudy's current contract situation is Rudy's on the books for $27 million next year. And then after next year, we could sign him to an extension at the Supermax, which would be 35% of the salary cap. So it's a massive number. Okay? So that's what the Supermax is. Now, here's what's interesting about the Supermax. The Supermax contract in the NBA, to the best of my knowledge, you can still go the next step of what you can do with the Supermax contract is you can give him just the regular max contract. Okay? So Rudy's qualified. You decide he's not, you don't want to give him 35% of your salary cap. Understandably, that's a reasonable decision. You got to deal with the impact of it. But what gets tricky is, if I understand this correctly, and I have been looking all around trying to kind of make sure that I have this exactly right, is that you cannot offer something in between the max contract and the supermax. So the next step for the Jazz would be that they can offer him the max contract, which is fine, right? Like, that's not a bad deal. The max contract is pretty fabulous, but it's not the maximum of what you can order. So the maximum salary a player can receive from year 70 is 30% of the cap. So Rudy, depending what the cap comes out, can get 30% of the cap instead of the 35. And if you start going much lower than that, then he can start to go get the max salary on the open market, and he's just offended. But that's the first part of it. That Rudy is eligible for the Supermax because he qualified for it. It's 35% of your salary. If I understand correctly, you cannot negotiate between those two. The next step is you go back to the max salary, which is 30%. And you've got to try to keep Rudy happy. And what's interesting about the contract being the max salary in the first season of the contract is never less than 105% of the salary in the last year of the player's previous contract. So, for example, a 7-year free agent, which is Rudy, this is from Larry Kuhn's FAQ, who recently earned 40 as a max salary, has to get at least 42, even if it's above the league-wide max. So if the salary cap drops dramatically, we don't know what it's going to do, and Rudy's making 27.5, you have to give him at least 105% of that, so that would come out to be about 30. So if 30% of the salary cap, if the salary cap drops below 90, Rudy's still getting, can be offered as much as 30. Okay, now let's dig into what is the Jazz salary situation. So from the big picture on the salary situation for the Jazz, they were over the salary cap last year and will be this year, okay? So the Jazz had $119 million active cap roster. Dead money, about $9 million. So they were at $127 million in salary. The salary cap was $109. The luxury tax was about $5 million more than that, $133 or so. So they were under the luxury tax, and they were above the salary cap. What that means as the Jazz move forward is that they do not have, unless it seems almost impossible, that going forward the Jazz will have anything other than what's called salary cap exceptions. If you're below the salary cap, you can sign players for all the money you're below the salary cap. We'll be above the salary cap. We'll be functioning above the cap. So you have, under this circumstance, you have a few exceptions. The first one you have is what's called the Larry Bird exception. And that allows a team to exceed the cap in order to re-sign their own free agents. You actually can do that up to the max salary. So that's Rudy Gobert in our extension. Though that it's really most important, though, for Jordan Clarkson. So Jordan Clarkson's a free agent. We have the ability to sign him to whatever number we want to sign him to because we have his Larry Bird exception. Okay? There's also something called the Early Bird exception. It allows a team to exceed the cap. The player must play their first two seasons for the Jazz. We don't really have anybody that qualifies for that. Then there are the kind of non-Bird exceptions. So you're above the salary cap, and we're trying to add a player. The first thing we have is something called the mid-level exception. And as long as you're not a taxpayer, which we weren't, you can use the mid-level exception. The mid-level exception, we don't know the number on it yet. It's based off the salary cap. Last year, I think it was about $9.5 million. So Jordan Clarkson's free agency, when you look at it, has a pretty good chance to maybe get the mid-level exception from someone at 9.2. We're the only team that, if they don't have cap space, that can offer Jordan more than 9.2. So unless we're going to let Jordan go to the market, see if he can get an offer, you could see us signing Jordan at a $10 or $11 million contract, and then he'll come back because that's the most money he can get. Okay? So we then have also the mid-level exception, but we got to know where the salary cap and the tax are. And as we talked about, we were only $3 or $4 million off the tax last year, and we were well above the salary cap. I don't know that we will be able to both sign someone to the mid-level exception. You don't actually have to use all of it either. You can use portions of it. And re-sign Jordan Clarkson. That, and have all, you know, Mike Conley opts in. Like, I'll get into that in the next segment, all the various contracts that exist that we have already. So it would seem unlikely that we can do both, but those are at our availability. The other one we have is what's called the biannual exception. Again, this is for a team that is below the salary cap and can be used by a team that has already used its mid-level or room mid-level exception and allows a team to sign a free agent with a starting salary. Last year was about 3.6. And this might be interesting if you're trying to offer someone a contract that is worth a little bit more than the minimum. This one I could see us re-signing Jordan Clarkson and using. You find a player and you're going to have to pay him a little bit more than what somebody else did and the other people only offering the minimum. Then you use the biannual exception at 3.6 last year. It could be down, right? All these numbers could be down next year. That's you also have the minimum salary. Players can be offered the minimum salary, and you can go over the cap even if you have a minimum salary. So that's just your primer. Then we'll talk about where our cap is. So we have the Supermax issue with Rudy. We can offer him the max extension. We have Larry Bird rights on Jordan Clarkson. We have the non-taxpayer mid-level exception, which last year was about 9.2. We have the room mid-level or the biannual exception, which was 3.6, and rookie minimum contracts. But you got to stay under the tax this whole time. Today's show is brought to you by Homie. You know, I was golfing with a buddy, really smart guy yesterday, and we both just said, like, we're walking around Park City, and was a new house that just sold, and the price was ridiculous. And the comment we both made was, I just cannot believe, like, the money real estate agents are making, and that technology has not just completely disrupted the real estate world yet. And I was like, well, homies doing the best, you know, trying, doing the best they can. And it is true, homie is doing the best they can. I mean, it's a crazy world out there. 6% on every house sale, like, you know, California and New York are flooding here right now, and real estate value in our market's up like crazy numbers. I can't give you something because someone will take it as factual. But like the house we were looking at, like was about a $1.5 million house just sold for $3 million. Like in the span of a year difference. Like, and that's 6%. Real estate agents are making $180,000 on that deal. That's crazy. That's where homie comes in. Homie's real changing the real estate market. Set numbers, saving you money on the way out. That's what homie's doing. Homie's not taking the 6%, and yet they're still giving you the great experienced local homie agents. They still got your back, still helping you every step of the way. Text LOCK, L-O-C-K-E, to 88588. That's LOCK to 88588 to find out more about what homie can do for you. They'll try to get you $5,000 back on your closing fees, set fees when you're the buyer. They're trying to do exactly what my buddy and I were talking about, is disrupt this crazy real estate market that's out there. Text LOCK and find out more about homie. We'd love to have you find out about it. Text LOCK to 88588. All right, so where do the Jazz sit? So we've set up what the Jazz have. Now, what is the Jazz money situation? So we'll go by position. Mike Conley has $34.5 million for next year, and he has to opt in. Your options with Mike Conley, or he opts in, you could trade his contract, as you can with any player. There's no restrictions on that. Then part two of it is, or you could make a deal with him where he opts out and you give him a few more years on the deal, sign him for 3 years, and maybe he makes, you know, 75 over the 3 years, and you've got him for 25 per, and that helps you out in the long run. You get Mike for 3 years, and he figures that he wouldn't make, if he goes in the open market in the 2021 season, he wouldn't make his, you know, it's just a value judgment. Like, he decides, well, if I can make 34, but if I only make 10 in the next two, and then I only make 54, then I'm better off taking, you know, 60 or 70 from the Jazz. So those are your options with Conley. He signs in, you have him for next year, you trade him, or you try to do a longer-term deal with him at a lower cap number. Jordan Clarkson, we've talked about, he's unrestricted free agent. He made 13.4 next year. You know, is he willing to take a pay cut? Is he going to come in at 11? Is he going to get down to the mid-level exception? Other point guards. Emmanuel Mudiay is $1.6 million. Remember the various things we talked about? We have nothing. We have no bird rights on him. We have no early bird rights on him. So we would have to use that biannual exception to pay him anything more than the minimum. Nigel Williams-Goss is signed, according to Sport Track, for 2 more years. I feel like there's a date coming up on that that has some relevance to it. Donovan is at 3.6, will be at 5.1 next year. And then we can sign him to the extension, which will be giving him the qualifying, giving him the whole deal. Mia One is signed for 3 years. Bojan Bogdanović is 17.8 this year, 18.7, and then 19.5. Joe Ingles is $10.8 million, and we've signed him to an extension for another year at $14 million. He's got 2 years left on his deal. Royce O'Neal, we signed for a 4-year extension. He'll get 8.5, 8.8, 9.2, 9.5. He's right at the middle level exception. The Jazz made the value judgment that Royce O'Neal goes into the open market and he would get a full mid-level exception offer, and the Jazz didn't want to lose him. George Niang has $1.78 million on next year's contract. Rajon Tucker is a restricted free agent. Juwan Morgan is a restricted free agent. Jarrell Brantley is a two-way player who could get offered a full deal from someone. Jazz have Ed Davis on the books for $5 million next year. They could stretch that, try to trade it, move it, see if Ed can get healthy this year. And then Rudy Gobert is at 27.5 with some sort of extension hopefully coming. And Tony Bradley is at $3.5 million next year. The Jazz have $8.5 million tied up right now in backup centers. Like, I know we all are excited and want to see what we can find from, and I know Derek Favors is being talked about a lot, but that's a lot of money in backup centers unless we are able to move those to do something else. The fact of the matter is, like, when you're paying Rudy 30, you're probably playing your backup center one. That's probably the reality on where many of that is. I've said that a lot. Like, now we might decide as a team and as a franchise that we feel differently about that. That we think that there's actually, you know, players that are more important to us than that. And so we think the backup center position on a team that's built by center is worth more money than what the general world believes. Nigel Williams-Goss, I believe, is right now a January 10th guarantee date. I have no idea what we're going to do about those kind of deals. Like, how does the league work if we haven't started January 10th? Is that still the guarantee date? So keep an eye on that. That will likely change. Justin Wright Foreman and Jarrell Brantley are both two-way contracts. They do not count against our salary cap. Jarrell Brantley, I think, could get an offer for a full contract, and the Jazz will, you know, and the Jazz probably willingly, if that's the case, would be able to get them. We have $49 million allocated to our point guards last year for 39% of our cap. If you count Clarkson as a point guard and Donovan as our guards are taking 42% of our cap, forwards are taking 30%, and centers taking 21%. It's only one center though. Right. So, but that's actually interesting allocation that it kind of comes out about even on all that. So that's where we stand. Those are what we have. That's our free agency primer. That's where we are. The average salary in the league, if you're wondering, for a guard is $7 million. Point guard's about $8 million. For a forward is about $6.6 million. For a center is about $8.7 million. If you're kind of wondering how the league is allocating things. It's going to be interesting. All right, tomorrow we'll run through who the free agents are, what their value is, what their current situation is, and we'll look at, and then we'll start breaking down them as individual players and who we might be interested in. Thanks for being a part of Locked On Jazz. Greatly appreciate it. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Locked On Jazz. Go ahead right now. As I said, Locked On NFL, Locked On NBA, Locked On College Football, all with the local experts on the biggest stories. Great day to listen to all those shows and get caught up on everything taking place. Have a super day. Appreciate you tuning in.